Welcome to the Coffee and Questions podcast. I am your host, Michelle Berman-Michael, and my mission with this podcast is simple: to help realtors and loan officers across the world tap into the value Instagram can have for them and their business. To me, organic business that comes to us is the name of the game. On this show, you're going to hear from myself, other experts across social media, and also others that are just like you, selling real estate and doing loans and doing it at a high level on social media.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Coffee and Questions podcast. I am Michelle Berman-Michael. You guys know me, but I am very excited about this episode because I don't often get to interview people that are not necessarily using Instagram to generate direct to business opportunities. But I am very excited about this because Laura Brandeo, who is here with me, we actually got connected on Facebook. And the way that we got connected specifically was because I saw that she went to Rutgers, and so did I. So for those of you guys who have been following my story, you know that I love connecting and prospecting through the Facebook and the Instagram platforms, but very rarely do I get to do it and then create a relationship the way that I have with Laura. So it's been so fun, but I'm excited to welcome Laura Brandeo to the show. She is a partner at EPM and CEO of Lighthouse Advisors. Laura, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I'm so excited. And yes, I am all about relationships and all about connections. So the minute that you reached out, I knew you were someone that I needed to have part of my circle. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure, for sure. And looking at all of our connections, I was like, how do we not know each other? And then on top of it, we also both went to Rutgers. Like, what a small world, especially in the mortgage space, right? Which people often say, like, well, the mortgage space, it's actually a really small community, but then you don't really realize that that's true until you're actually in it. And then even going one step further and being like, we both went to the same school. Like, that's so crazy. And what, like 10, 15 years apart too, which is even cool. But Laura, you don't necessarily use Instagram to generate specific ROI in your company, but you do use it for brand awareness, which is a big part of what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into all of that detail, I would love it if you just let my audience know who isn't familiar with you. Who are you? How did you become CEO of Lighthouse Partners? How did you become partner at EPM? And what is the backstory to Laura?
Well, my backstory is, just like so many people, I accidentally fell into the mortgage industry. And right after the mortgage crisis, I was given the opportunity to build a wholesale lender from scratch. And so for 15 years, I built a wholesale lender, was president and partner at that company. And then that company recently was bought by another company. So then I moved over to EPM, and now I'm a partner at EPM. And we're building out our vertical division, which is Lighthouse Advisors, that I am currently the CEO of. So the thing about the mortgage industry is, you know, we said it, connections, relationships, being able to realize that those connections that you make, and that, you know, we're going to get into branding, putting yourself out there and being the leader of yourself. You know, let's speak about that title, CEO. You know what? We are the CEO of ourselves. Every single day, we get to make the decision as to who am I and what am I doing and what impact am I making on the relationships that I have, whether they are clients, whether they are individual borrowers and communities. What is that relationship? So I love the mortgage industry. I have an absolute passion, and I feel a sense of responsibility that I want to leave this industry so much better than when I started out in it. And I feel that we're striving every single day to do that. And I'm very excited about the changes that I'm watching as we are morphing and modifying and continuing to grow and evolve within our industry.
Yeah, I think that that's a great point. And I think the mortgage industry has notoriously been a little bit archaic when it comes to social, or in this case, yes, Instagram, for our conversation. I've been in the Instagram space for a really long time. That's why people are here, because they know that that's my lane. But the cool thing about what I think you're describing is that it's changing. Like, the mortgage industry is figuring it out, and it's not fast, right? It doesn't need to be fast, but it is changing. So I would love to hear from your side of things, right, more on the leadership side and working with the individual LOs or the people who are trying to build their businesses internally, I think there's two pieces to this. One, like, it's incredible that you built an entire organization by yourself, and then we're in a position 15 years later to be like, here, you go ahead and you buy this for me because I'm done, right? But I think the number one thing with most LOs when we're trying to learn something, it's easier if we're learning from someone that's been there and done that. So the fact that you've been there and done that automatically, in my opinion, is Laura somebody to follow, Laura somebody to know. But I do believe, to your point, that it creates an extra layer of sort of pressure, I guess, in a way.
To responsibility.
Show. Yeah, that's a good word too. Less scary of a word for sure. Like, just more of a responsibility to say, hey, I'm showing up here and I'm not even doing this for the loans. So why are you not showing up? You know?
And I will tell you, Michelle, I am a very, very driven person to where when I decide to do something, just like yourself, when I decide I'm doing it, I'm all in. So let's take Instagram as an example. Okay. I remember that when Instagram Reels started to become popular, right? I always remember, it's funny, one of the things that I run in the mortgage industry is I run a couple of different women's groups. And the one women's group that was the MBA New Jersey Women's Committee, every single month I have a different speaker come on and teach things. And one of my girls was teaching Instagram Reels. And I can't remember what year this was, a couple of years ago, right? So anyway, she came on and she was like, okay, ladies, you know, take out your phones and this is what we're going to do. And like, she went through the steps. And that day, I said, I'm going to do a reel every single morning when I wake up. Michelle, there is not a morning, Monday through Friday, I don't do it on the weekend. Weekend, it might be something personal, like if I'm hiking or doing something, right? But yeah. Monday through Friday, I do an Instagram reel every single morning. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I have no idea what my topic is going to be. I just come up with something that I'm thinking about that I want to communicate with someone, and I do an Instagram reel because I said, well, you know what? If this is important and this is a great way for me to get more followers and get more traction and to put myself out there, I'm going to make it so I am consistent every single day. Now, of course, Instagram, in terms of posting, I post on social again every single day during the week, and usually a Sunday, I skip Saturday, but I have an entire schedule out. I mean, I do all of my prep work ahead of time. Everything is planned out. And then if something pops up, of course, like the reels, those, I have no idea. They're not planned, but you have to have a sense of dedication and consistency.
Yes.
You know, now, sure, you can randomly do things. That's fine. But if you're going to truly brand yourself and truly show up for your community, for your prospects, for your past clients, for your teams, you better be consistent.
Yeah. And I think let's take the whole action of doing Instagram out of this conversation for the sake of the moment and say, if you're listening to this and you're like, maybe I'm going to put a toe into it, maybe I'm going to decide to dabble. Hear it here first from both Laura and I, that will not work. And I think that the biggest thing with my experience, and I've talked about this a lot, is you can't have a back door, right? And what do I mean by saying that? What I mean is if you decide to do something, you cannot have a plan B. And I remember learning this years and years and years ago. I read the book High Performance Habits in 2016 when it was really kind of new in the space. Brendan Burchard, if you guys are not familiar, is the author of that book. But I remember sitting on my couch reading this book, thinking, holy crap, I am this person that he's describing. And I remember reading some of them and thinking, okay, well, I'm not doing this one as well as I probably could, but I'm doing most of them pretty damn close. Like, I'm right on it. And I remember right there in that moment, I said, I'm not going to have a resume. I'm not going to have a backup plan. I'm not going to do any of that. Like, I am Berman Media and I am Beyond the Method. And it was in that moment where Beyond the Method was then born shortly after, my whole life changed when I made that decision of
burn the boats.
I'm committed.
You're burning the boats. That's 100%. It. No way off.
But I mean, how many people, and you've obviously been in the industry for longer than I have, and like, how many people do you feel like are one toe in?
Most. And that's the thing is, and listen, even speaking for myself, when I started in the mortgage industry, or when I started that company that I sold, that was it. I didn't have any other option. I had to make it work, and it had to be successful because that was all I had, right? So it's honestly, when you have options, that will actually hold you back. You don't want to have a plan B, C, D. That is going to hold you back. When you have $10 left in your bank account, you're not sitting there going, well, maybe I'll make another phone call. You're making another phone call. You're going and making another post. You're following up for the 100th time because you've got $10 in your bank account. So you have to have that mentality, regardless if it's $10 or if it's $100,000. You need to keep that mentality. And if you can keep that fire and that passion for a long enough amount of time, you never have to worry.
Well, ever. And I'm so excited that we're talking about it from this angle, because I think I've had lots of people on the show where we get really granular and we're talking about specific goals and specific ways to execute certain things. But this is really big picture in my mind. And this is, for those of you guys who haven't figured it out, Laura and I are both very high D's. We're very, very big female personalities. And I think that sometimes that big personality can be a little intimidating to somebody listening to this saying, well, I'm a brand new loan officer, or I've been in the industry for 10 years. I'm not comfortable on video. I don't really know what to say, but okay, I guess I'll try. And those are the people that are sort of a little one foot in, one foot out. So I think though, me and you being really big personalities, being able to say, hey, we failed too, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. There was a day where I had $347 in my bank account. And I will never forget it.
Because I remember thinking, you won't.
$347 was just a little bit more than my car payment at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was paying my car payment with my credit card, which at the time was also allowed. I don't even know if that's allowed anymore, but I don't think so. But at the time it was allowed. And I remember like going to the grocery store thinking, what is the cheapest thing I can buy that will last the longest amount of time? And I remember buying lots of pasta, lots of macaroni and cheese. Salad was out because the bags of salads were expensive. It was like all of these things that like you don't even think about. Right. And I remember thinking in that moment, I'm like, well, maybe I should go get another job, right? Maybe I should go bartend somewhere on the side. And it was High Performance Habits where I stopped and I said, nope, like this will, I will always work. Just constantly only have $347 in my bank account if I don't commit 100% to what I feel like is the purpose for me being on this planet. And what a trajectory, right? But can you go back to that time for you? Because I'm assuming that that authenticity there from you of the $10 was something that you resonated with at some point in your career.
Absolutely. I mean, when I started out, as the telemarketer making $7 an hour, calling people to say, Mr. Smith, what interest rate are you currently paying on your mortgage?
Oh my God.
I might be able to save you some money. That was how I started. Okay.
Wow.
And best thing that could have ever happened in my life. You know why? Not only did it teach me to be humble and to understand what that was like, it made it so I'm not scared to go up to someone. I'm not scared to call you. I'm not scared to reach out to you. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to ignore me, or you're going to say no to me? Been there, done that. It doesn't hurt my feelings in the least. So if I didn't start that way, if I came into another direction to where maybe that I would think that's beneath me, or I would think that was too hard, or I didn't have thick skin to get those no's, maybe I wouldn't have reached the level of success that I did. So I am grateful for every single thing. I'll never forget. It's actually funny, since we're speaking about the $10 in the bank thing, right? I remember, my God, I'm dating myself, but I remember me and my husband were trying to come up with a payment for some bill when we were early on. And back then, they would, these scam artists would put a thing like in the newspaper that said, call this number and you can get a personal loan for whatever, whatever.
Oh, gosh,
and I literally took like my last 300 bucks out of the bank at that moment, which 300 was every cent practically, thinking we were applying for a loan, which of course we had great credit. We just didn't have any cash. We, you know, and I remember being scammed by that.
Oh, no.
And again, thinking back on that, that was fuel, Michelle.
Yeah.
Like that was fuel and experience that I had to experience at that age that made it so that I fight for the low to moderate income borrower. I make sure that people aren't taken advantage of as a lender because I remember being that person. I remember crying on the corner of my apartment when I got my mortgage commitment for our first house that we were buying when I was 25. And the loan officer told me the rate was going to be 7 and he locked me in at 8.5 and charged me 2 points. And I remember crying on my apartment floor saying, I don't even know how we're going to make this mortgage payment. Now, luckily, it all worked out and everything was fine and all turned out great. The point is, I remember that 25-year-old girl, and I will never allow anyone from my company or anyone that works with anything associated to me to ever have to feel that, right? See, these are not things that we should be running away from. These are experiences that teach us and fuel us and make it so that, is it a big deal that I do an Instagram reel every single morning? It is a big deal because you know what? What does that represent? That represents my dedication to making sure that I continue to be out there, that people can continue to hear me and see me and know I'm showing up. I'm showing up for you. I'm showing up for our industry. I'm showing up. And everyone out there, whatever your equivalent to the $10, $300 in the bank, the being scammed, the being ripped off on your interest rate, everyone has those stories. Every single person has those stories. Use it as fuel. That's your fuel.
And use it as content, right? Because I can't.
That too.
Gosh, I've been on so many calls in the last few weeks and it all rings so true. And people say, well, what am I supposed to post about? And the biggest thing I will tell you is what Laura just described is content, right? It is how we can parallel a passion that we have as human beings into the content that we produce, right? And people overanalyze and overprocess this in their mind so much to the point where it literally will paralyze them from producing anything. And I told a story about like swimming, right? I swam the mile competitively most of my competitive swimming career all the way through college at Rutgers. That was my primary event. Now the mile, you spend a lot of time going back and forth. The mile is 66 laps in a short course pool, which is about 17 and a half minutes at that elite level, right? Maybe a little under 17 if you're really good. But what I'm told in that story is you stare at the black line on the bottom of a pool for a long time, right? But I could look at this as, well, this is just, if I look at a picture of a pool, I could say, well, that's just a black line on the bottom of a pool. Like, what's the point of looking at this? Or I could look at it as a guide, right? As this thing that's going to help me get from one end of the pool to the other. So what I taught in this section, in this training was how can we look at life situations or the mundane of our day-to-day, or to your point, the stories of our day-to-day, and translate that into how we can tell stories about mortgages, right? Or how a loan officer can talk about their love of homesteading or gardening or archaeology, or I don't even care what it is, and make it so that the financial literacy that we're trying to talk about isn't so boring, right?
Yeah.
So the $10 in our bank account, the $347 we're paying our car payment with our credit card, right?
People are going to relate to that.
Exactly.
They're going to relate to that.
So
have just humanized yourself.
Right? How do you, yeah, exactly. And Laura, like if you're working with a loan officer and they come to you and they say, Laura, like I want to do reels on Instagram, but I need to talk about mortgage stuff. but I don't know how to talk about mortgage stuff without it being boring. What would you say to somebody?
Most of the time, I don't tell them to tie it to mortgage stuff. I actually tell them to just what you were saying. Like, I usually tell them to tie it to something that they're passionate about, right? Whatever the messaging, but they could do it if they're local. Like, let's say if they're in a particular state, tie it to stuff that has to do with, like, you know, what state you're in. You know, like if you're in Florida, tie it to things that, because you're trying to draw that attention. If that's your market and you want to, you know, or maybe you're the Southeast, right? And you want to tie it to that. People will follow for that. People in that area will love to hear everything that you're excited about that's coming up or that you're doing or you're going to. People love that kind of stuff. It could be local things. It could be upcoming events. It could even be seasonal of what's happening with the weather. Most of the time, people are not going to follow specifically about mortgage. Find something. Now, unless if you're passionate about veterans, you should go out speaking the language to the veterans. Maybe you're a veteran. Maybe you can explain it and relate to them and tie it into that. Maybe I'll give you an example. My other company, we did a lot of stuff with manufactured homes, and we do a lot of stuff at EPM also with it. So I remember that when I first started doing manufactured homes, at first I was kind of like, man, I don't understand manufactured homes. Like, I grew up in New Jersey. It wasn't very prevalent. And then I really started to understand the affordability and the opportunities that were allotted to people in that segment. And once I became educated on it, I said, my God, this is a huge solution for people in certain parts of the country that most people are not aware of. That would be something that I would go out and I would educate people on that, because most people have no idea that that's even an option. So you have to figure out, what are you passionate about that you could go out that is interesting that people maybe I love dogs, right? So I love dogs. Start tying in the dog-friendly places, right? The best places to take your dog, or show Instagram reels with your dog hiking up the mountain, or your dog at the dog park, or people love that kind of stuff. Tie things in where they know what you do. That's very important too. If you're doing this as an originator, make sure people know you are an originator. Yes. Make sure people know you're a mortgage professional, that you're a mortgage expert. I know some companies get very, very scared about, don't speak about, you know, obviously don't speak about rates. Make sure, you know, stay away from that kind of stuff. From a compliance standpoint, you have to be careful, but make sure they understand that you can help them, you can serve them, that you are educated, that you're an expert. But make it interesting enough that you're creating an audience.
Well, here's the thing. What you just talked about is the like, know, and trust triangle, guys. Like,
yes.
To like peel the onion layers all the way back. Yep. It is the like, know, and trust factor of sales, right? If I need to hire you for something like a mortgage, before that happens and before I trust you with my money, right, I have to feel like I like you or feel like I know you to some capacity where I now like you because of the fact that I feel connected to you. And how do we create the connection in the first place? And so what I think, and I tell everybody, I say, when you get on the phone with someone, what's the first thing that you do, right? Your job right out of the gate is not to immediately start selling them a mortgage. It's to get to know them as a human being, right? And to find a connection point. And Instagram gives us the opportunity to find those connection points before we ever call someone. So if you're the loan officer who loves dogs, for example, post reels about dogs, and the business content that you then share on the other days is the mortgage stuff. But guess what? The dog reel is going to get more engagement. It's going to get more eyeballs no matter what. Always. That will always be the case, because dogs are way cooler and way funner to consume than conversations around mortgages. Let's be honest. But the point is that the business content is still going to get seen by a lot of people. They just might not interact with it. They might not like it or double tap it. But the personal content about the dogs becomes the foundation for the like and the know factor. And then the trust factor has to come into play when we share that business content or when we start talking about it. But I want to go back to the Florida example, Laura, quickly, because you said how do we tie Florida or like the seasons of why someone would want to live in Florida into talking about mortgages? So tying Florida's unique seasonal characteristics, right, could be a discussion about timing, property value, investment strategies, how Florida's weather seasons are marked by a really mild winter and a really hot, humid summer. And then we also have the very distinct hurricane season, right? So how can you time buying and selling? How can you time getting your home ready to sell exterior wise before hurricane season? What are the maintenance and upkeep costs? Are they different in Florida? Right. So you can start to see all of these different pieces to how we can start talking about mortgages, but make it more exciting and make it more interesting, but most importantly, make it more relatable. And that's the biggest issue is, quite frankly, like, boil it all the way down, you guys are just trying too hard, honestly.
I agree. Overthinking it.
Yeah, for sure. You're trying to produce overproduced content.
Overproduced.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, you and I both, I love your reels and I love them when you're just outside. It looks like you're at the top of a mountain after a hike, like recording videos. And I love seeing them because even if you're talking about mortgages or even if you're talking about business, I don't really care because I'm like, where are you? What are you doing?
That's exactly right.
And that's the point. And I think the piece that I love about you specifically is this conversation, right? We can be really dominant individuals in our industry, but at the same time, we're just two women going through life, doing the same thing that everybody else is trying to do. And we're not trying to overproduce. We're not doing all this fancy, crazy B-roll, and we don't have a videographer following us around all the time. And I mean, I was on a coaching call with a lady who's spending $1,200 a month right now on, and all she gets is three videos from the videographer every month.
No.
Like, I was dying. Like, I'm like, I on what planet is that okay? And I have personally produced all of my own video content with my iPhone and a tripod for going on 10 years. I have had, over the course of all 10 years of posting on Instagram, probably a dozen of my pieces of content were from a videographer that produced it. Meaning, like, I was speaking at an event and I had somebody make a fancy reel, or I was in somebody's, or like hosting even my own event, right? And having a videographer come to document the event, right? Yeah. But that's the only fancy, frilly content you'll ever get from me, because the relatability for someone like us is those mundane and sort of, not mundane, but those sort of just, we're just
you're
doing
just life. You're just a normal person, you know? You're not, you know, you don't have, none of us have it figured out, and neither does anyone else. And that's why, again, I'm going to go back to that word responsibility. For everyone listening to this, your communities, they need you. But if you don't get out there, if you don't get on Instagram, if you're not doing this consistently, guess what? They're never going to know you. So get out there, show yourself, be yourself. Don't pretend to be something you're not. If you love cats and not dogs, well then love cats, you know, like whatever it is, you know, just be yourself, because I promise you there's lots of cat lovers out there that will bond with you and want to know about you. But if you don't show yourself and be authentic and be vulnerable and put yourself out there, then you're doing a disservice to all the people that you need to help.
Can you speak for them? Laura, can you speak to the professionalism aspect of this? Because I think a lot of, especially originators that have been in the industry as long as you have, I think there's this misconception, that's the wrong word, but sort of an expectation of the boundary or the line of what is professional and what is personal and how those two things get split. And I talk about this a lot, but I think from your perspective, it would be more unique to hear, because back in the day, that was the case. That was the be overly professional, put it together.
You didn't share. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny, Michelle, I'll give you to a total extreme, because I had the added level of being a woman executive, where there's not a lot of top women executives in the industry, especially not when I was coming up, where people didn't even know I had children. Like, because I couldn't be labeled as, oh, well, she's acting like a mom. So I literally didn't even make, like, I had children. That's how extreme it was. I'm very happy that we have evolved as a industry, as a society, that, listen, things blend, right? But I'll give you an example. I'm someone that I made the decision that you're not going to see a lot of stuff with my family. Maybe my husband. My husband's okay. We do. He's my videographer, and he'll hold and do some of my videos and stuff, right? Just for fun. And maybe my husband. But beyond that, I'm probably not pulling the rest of my family into my stuff. That's my decision, right? But I also will share that I do like to go hiking and I do like to travel to certain places and kind of my philosophy on stuff. So I think that, to your point, is it's unique for each person, right? But I think we have evolved that people want to see, no matter whether you pull a little of your personal into the professional, the biggest piece you need to understand, and Michelle said this and I said it, people want to see your true self.
Yeah.
So don't, I'm not necessarily saying whether you should pull the personal in, because that's your decision as an individual. You make that decision, but they want to see you. They don't want to see this buttoned up professional banker, you know, from 1985 that is just by the book and giving regulations. They want to see the real guy, the real girl that understands. When Michelle and I were joking about the $10 in the bank and stuff, that's what people are going through. When people are going to the grocery store and their bill is $250 a week, and they're trying to figure out how can they save to buy a house when their grocery bill is through the roof, that's real. That's happening today, right now. That's happening, right? We shouldn't ignore that. We shouldn't go around that. People are struggling with coming up with a down payment. People are concerned about the cost of flood insurance in Florida, right? If we're speaking about Florida, those are not things that aren't happening. Now, you again, and Mr. Loan Officer, Mrs. Originator, this is your opportunity to connect with them and be that authentic person to not go around those topics or subjects. Embrace them. Embrace them to have them understand that we get you. We know that the grocery bill is through the roof. We know how hard it is to put away for that down payment. So you know what? I have some down payment assistance options that I can review with you. I have some in your local market that, you know, reach out to me, connect to me, because I'm going to be able to give you those answers. But well, don't do it in a way. Just connect. Why?
And literally, like, I mean, we're examples of this. I could think of it right now off the top of my head. I like remember going to the grocery store and being like, oh, that was only $100. Wow, that was kind of cheap, right? For all of that stuff. And now that same all of that stuff is $250, right? Like, yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even my husband and I, like, we're hardcore budgeters, even though we don't necessarily like have to be as much as we probably are. But like, that's just how we operate. We're very structured. My husband is a medically retired special forces guy. So like, everything is structure and very intentional. And there's just a lot of thought that goes into everything that happens, which I love about him. Sometimes it's frustrating, right? All my wives of military guys out there, you know what I mean? But we love them for it most of the time. And when it comes to this, like, we've even had that conversation around groceries. Yeah. Of like,
everyone,
we're going to Sam's Club every weekend. We're going once a month. And if you're going to do a video talking about something, like even showing it, even having the receipts and being able to show, hey, this is my bill from 6 months ago for the same amount of items, 41 items. This is my bill for 41 items today. Like, and tying that into, hey, I get it. I've been there. And the number one thing I want to tie this up with a big pretty bow and get your final thoughts on it too, is when we post content, we have one job. And in my opinion, that one job is to create conversation, because we know that in order to generate opportunity for ourselves in our business, whether you're at me and Laura's level, or if you're an originator trying to generate a realtor partner or a D2C or direct to consumer client, right? We know that in order to generate opportunity to create conversion, we have to have conversations. So if we're not posting at all, we're certainly not having conversations. But secondly, if we're not posting content that is designed to create conversation or to elicit emotion or a feeling out of someone to the point where they are now so called to leave a comment or to send us a DM, then conversion's just not going to happen. And no offense, but the definition of amortization is not going to be what I'm going to engage on as it relates to whether or not you're going to earn my engagement. It's not going to be from that.
Agree. Completely agree. You know, it's interesting. Just today, I had a post on social, and it was about how we can make money back, but we can't get time back.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that particular post caused lots of conversation, right? I had lots of people reach out. I had lots of people repost, you know, like sharing it, and people really resonate because it hit them. It hit them in their heart. It was something that people went, wow, that is so true. We can always make money back, but we can't get the time back. So where are we spending that time? So to your point, it does take a little bit of thought, but not overthought, not overthinking it, right? So to your point, always make it so it is something that resonates, causes discussion, or even let's use the, I love the taking a picture of the grocery bill, right? And then saying, I have down payment assistance programs available, you know, like reach out to me, you know, reach out to me so that I can find out. That's it. I mean, that's a perfect example of the kind of things. And I think, and Michelle, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts. I think that once you get into the rhythm of understanding like what works and you're kind of aware, all of a sudden your brain starts picking up on those kind of things. So do you think?
Oh, I 1,000,000,000% agree. I mean, right now, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I'm thinking about a client from like several years ago, and I have no idea why my brain just went to this, but I used to teach him about doing Facebook Lives on his Facebook and some ideas and things that he could talk about so that he could talk about real estate in the Nashville market where he is, and do it in a unique way so that it wasn't quite so real estate-y, right? And he's really, really, really smart. Like one of those guys where like anything comes out of his mouth and you're like, he is highly educated, right? But I was like, okay, client, insert name. Like, how do we bring it down where you're a little bit more approachable and a little bit
relatable,
fun, right? And he's always been a bow tie guy. Like it's actually like a funny in his business. Like all of his clients will buy him different fun bow ties because they know it's like his thing. So where my brain was going with this and why I was saying that is he started doing Facebook Lives every week, drinking different types of iced tea. So like one week he would make an Arnold Palmer, one week he would do talking about sweet tea, one week he'd be drinking plain, boring iced tea. And he would talk about like, as he's drinking it, he would talk about, oh, this is kind of bitter, or, oh, this is like a little too sweet. And then he would somehow create a storyline or a parallel to what was going on in the Nashville real estate market. And people started anticipating this Facebook Live with him drinking.
There you go.
What kind of tea is he drinking this week? Right. And it was something, how we pulled that out of him was, what do you like doing? What is something that you do in your day to day? And he goes, oh, my wife is the queen of making sweet tea. And I was like, there we go. Right. And being able to facilitate something that created approachability for someone that otherwise, I don't know that I would have talked to him about real estate, because quite frankly, I wouldn't have understand half of what he was saying because he's so smart. And that's not to take away from him. That's like a compliment of like, hey, you're way too smart for me. You're overqualified to help me. But how can we bring you down and make you more approachable? And I think that that's kind of the silver lining of all of this, if you've been in the industry for 20 years, if you've been in this industry for 2 months, you have a message, you have a voice, you have something to say. How can you make that message approachable? And then just rip the Band-Aid off, man, and just post it.
Just do it.
And make it where you are in a position where you are passionate about continuing to produce it. Because I think if you're trying to force it in a arena of, well, I'm sitting in my desk or in my office at my desk and I have the camera staring at me and it's like, ugh, what do I say? It's going to be hard, right? If I were to go to record a video in the CrossFit gym, I could do it with my eyes closed because I love being in the CrossFit gym and that's my happy place, right? But if you tell me to go in an actual formal videographer like production studio, it's going to be way harder. It's not going to come out the way that it should. And that's because I'm not in my authentic happy place. And to your point, Laura, that's what people want from us. They want
Yes.
that authentic, who are we? How can we just be us and
Right.
make it fun?
That's it. And just remember, you're not going to resonate. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, right? And there is nothing wrong with that. The people that you're supposed to connect with will. But if you never get out there and you never give your message, you're doing a disservice to them and to yourself. So just do it. You're the best you that has ever existed.
I love it. Laura, you're incredible. So much fun to talk with. And I think that the funny part of this is I'm sure I'm going to get some comments of people saying, you ladies are really big, strong personalities. And I'm like, yep, we sure are, but we love being who we are. So, and we talk fast. So if you have to listen to this 5 times, then do it. But Laura, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being on the show and just coming and being your true self, because I certainly love that version of you the best. So if you're listening to this and you want to leave a review, we would love that. More reviews, the better. We obviously can continue to get in front of more and more of you that need to hear these types of messages. Also, if you have any recommendations for people that you think I should interview, like Laura, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram. But Laura, how can someone get connected to you before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, all different social, just connect to me. I love interacting with people. The more the merrier. I am here to be a bright light for our industry. That is my mission. That is my passion. And I love connecting to new people, just like Michelle reached out to me. I have a rule that I give anyone 15 minutes, whatever you need, whatever you want. I am happy to get and see how I can help you. So please connect.
I love it. Well, you're certainly doing it. All right, guys, we appreciate you. We'll see you in the next episode of the Coffee and Questions podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go follow my guests on social media. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a review wherever you consume this content.